Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. This is show number 129, and we're recording this on Sunday, the 8th of October, 2023. We being myself, Kev Wright. I used to say at Kev Wright on Twitter, but I think we'll talk about that in a minute. And my co-host is Mr. Richard Yates. Hello, mate.
Good morning, Kev. Good morning, everybody.
How are we?
You're feeling a bit hassled.
Really. Oh, dear.
Yesterday, I've got two routers here. I have a master router and a slave router. Because the only way I can get past the reinforced steel beams in the house. And last night, the slave router decided it didn't want to play at all. So I have now got it, I think, working. But unfortunately, I got to bed very, very late last night. And I'm really rather sleepy. It was one of those things where once you've started, you've got to carry on. But I basically had to completely reset it and take it down near the master router and link them back up again and bring it back upstairs and reset.
I guess all the servants in the West Wing were probably a bit annoyed last night. Then they had no internet.
Yeah, although I was listening to the beginning of PSC last night. I have to confess that since it was very late, I ultimately fell asleep. I'm going to have to listen to it again. But I did hear Mr. Michael Warner talking about one of his many sheds.
Apparently he's got quite a few sheds. Yeah,
Man of many sheds. I'm going to look into a few extra sheds very quickly.
Yeah.
Usurped.
Absolutely. Well, I think whatever we do, I think Mr. Warner will always usurp us, is it? Or usurp us?
Usurp us, yeah. Well,
yeah, I think he will.
I think he'll be upstaged, mostly because he has the advantage of being 20 years younger than us.
Well, you know, and more intelligent than me. I don't know about anything else.
Well, I wasn't going to admit to that, but now you come to me.
Well, you know, I think the evidence is out there for all to see. Luckily, we have the looks over him, so it's not all bad.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, absolutely, we do. Absolutely. And the charisma as well.
Right. Okay. Let's
Morning,
move.
Mike.
Morning, Mike. Let's move on. Let's move on. So, I can't even remember what we said on the last show.
We were talking about the iPhone 15.
Had we got them?
You'd got one, I was suffering from the fact that I couldn't get onto the Apple Store until 1:25. So I had to wait.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So you got it now?
I do have it now.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I can't directly now compare it with the 14 Pro Max, but for the 2 or 3 days I had them side by side, it's surprising. You really do notice the weight difference.
I think you've kicked off with one of the most important things I wanted to cover, really, which was it's getting a little bit tedious. This thing that comes out every year is like, oh, don't bother with the 15 if you've got a 14, or don't bother with the Pixel 8 Pro if you've got a Pixel 7 Pro. And every time I hear someone say that, I kind of think, well, isn't that just normal common sense? I mean, I even felt a little bit strange going from the 13 Pro to the 15 Pro. And in my mind, it was like, well, this is a two-year-old device, so I can justify it, even though my one was only just over 1 year old. So actually, I hadn't even had it 2 years because it was my second one. I don't know that anyone should be updating. Or I don't mean shouldn't be. I mean, you did it and lots of other people did it in our circle. And that's perfectly fine, obviously. Oh. But nobody should feel that they should have to do it.
No, absolutely not. I mean, let me tell you why I did in the end. Having said, I can't really see why I would update for an entire podcast and then I did it, and the reasons actually were there were a couple of reasons. One is I don't miss the lightning connector at all. I did think that I was actually going to be able to dispose of the lightning connector in the house, but unfortunately I have an iMac which has a keyboard and a mouse that are charged up by a lightning connector, and also I've got a MagSafe battery which I don't know, might get rid of that. I suppose that one can be gone, because the thing that terrifies me most now is randomly picking up a lightning cable and absentmindedly breaking the plug at the bottom of the iPhone.
But
I think, to be honest, the keyboard and mouse, well, you know, if they're on this particular computer, I'll probably have this for another year or two, and then it will most likely go to the great Apple store in the sky, otherwise known as Dave Rich. I don't miss it at all. I mean, yeah, I've also got AirPods, but they've got magnetic charging cases, so I just stick them on the MagSafe charger, job done. I think the main reason for me, in the end of the day, the main reason was simply storage. I have never had big problems keeping everything within 128 gigs, but on the 14 Pro Max, I'd got up to 116, and that was because I'd got music downloaded, I'd got a load of photos on there. It could have been obviously cleared out quite a lot, but I was quite happy with how it was. So the single biggest reason was to get 256 gigs. If I'd got 256 gigs on the previous one, I don't think I'd have replaced it at all. Now, having done that, what do you go as well? Well, it is a bit lighter. When I first got the new one, I thought, oh, no, I like the weight, it's too light. But now, of course, I can't really say I've taken very many photos with it yet. Next week, I should have the chance to take a few photos because I've got a business trip next week. So that will give me a chance to do a few more interesting things and see what the camera is like. But yeah, there's probably some incremental improvement in the camera. I also would like to have enough space on it to be able to take a bit of video while I'm away. I'm not great into video, to be honest with you. I prefer stills, but maybe that's just something I need to learn. I think it comes down to the subject matter you've got available. So really, to me, it is a fairly incremental improvement. And I'm not going to be so stupid as to say I won't buy next year's one, but we're both in a not dissimilar boat age-wise. The retirement day is not a million years hence, is it? There's going to come a point where you have every new one going. So there is an element of, well, I'll have this one and see how I am in a year's time. But I mean, yeah, it's a nice phone. If I had 256 gigs on the 14 Pro Max, I'm probably stupid enough to upgrade it for the USB-C to be absolutely truthful. We both know that. However, I think if I'd had 256, it would have been a much more difficult decision to sort of mentally justify either to myself or to my wife. Whereas when you're getting quite close to running out of stuff, yeah, you've got a choice, haven't you? You spend a sizable amount of time getting stuff out of it, or you say, I think I probably do need a bit more space, which is where I got to.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have to justify it, obviously, at the end of the day. What I was meaning more was the fact that most of it is just YouTube nonsense and stuff for views, and the more controversial they can be, there's all these. For example, I get a bit confused with these things because you this heating up of the phone and all this thing. I mean, every year we appear to have something with the iPhone. There's every single year there's always been something, and this year it was heating up, and clearly, genuinely, there were some faulty machines out there. And I think anything that ships God knows how many million in its first 2 days is going to have a couple of faulty units. That's bound to happen. But
I
first
mean,
of
like we
all,
say, we've had two of them here because I upgraded from a 13 Pro. Neither of us has had any issues whatsoever with heating, and yet they are well documented. I don't disbelieve some of the people who've had them. I mean, we've seen a couple of people in our little group who've one of them was saying it's really hot, but it settled down once you removed Instagram. Another one was saying, well, come across a few of these at work, setting them up, and a few of them have overheated. I mean, who knows? I mean, Instagram is a pretty horrendous app in my opinion anyway, but if the code doesn't work very efficiently, then it is going to cause some problems.
Well, as most people listening to this know, I set up probably, I don't know, 5 to 10 iPhones a week from scratch. Some of them have very little stuff to transfer and download from iCloud. Some of them have lots of data. And I mean, I kept taking the case off mine when these people were talking about, the thing overheating, because I thought, well, perhaps I just can't feel it because I've got quite a decent sort of hardback case on it, with bumpers on the side, so I wouldn't. But it was still nothing from day to day. One of the guys on Twitter, I don't really follow his channel, but it's iPhone Do or iPhone Do. He did some fairly scientific testing and proved beyond doubt to me, at least, that it was certainly Instagram, apart from a few other apps that would do it. But all these phones I set up at work, they all get pretty warm. Literally, because none of them have got cases on. Obviously, I'm just handling them as they are out of the box, and most of them get pretty warm when they're first used. The hottest phone I've used lately was the Flip 3, when I but then I downloaded, I think, about 14 gigabytes of data, over, you know, using it as a hotspot.
Yeah, well, that's certainly going to heat it up, I'd have thought, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not that surprised that it heated up, given how amazing that phone is and how thin it is. But all the rest of the time that I used it, it never heated up. But it seems like, I mean, I don't know about you, but for the first week or two of a new phone, I don't really take much notice of battery life or anything else. I don't really care. But it seems when you get an iPhone launch, the you know, one person gets a hot phone, and all of a sudden the whole 15 launch is a nightmare. But as I understand it from the early numbers, the 15 is probably selling at a pretty phenomenal rate, as I guess iPhones generally do anyway. But certainly not had any problems with mine heating up, apart from that first 24 hours, or not even that, probably the first couple of hours while it transferred. I'm beginning to think more and more, actually, that we should set these phones up from scratch each time. And I'm half tempted, actually. I've noticed, I don't know about you, I've noticed after that, because obviously they released 17.0.3. I mean, the cynical part of me says Apple didn't do a lot on that 0.3, but everyone wanted a release, so they obliged. And most of it seemed to be the Instagram stuff. But I think my battery has improved. Yesterday, for example, it came off the charger at 6:30 in the morning. I was off, so I've used it a fair bit during the day. Only about 4 hours screen on time, just a couple of minutes shy of 4 hours screen on and about an hour and a half screen off. And I went to bed last night. I was watching something on YouTube, which was, it got me interested and didn't realise it was nearly 2 hours long. And I went to bed at 1:30, so 6:30 in the morning to 1:30 the next morning. And I went to bed with, I put it on the charger at 27%. So, and this is just the small Pro, not the Max. So at the end of the day, all these sort of stories of doom about battery life and everything are, I think, probably a little bit overblown, or they're just for views or clicks or engagement or whatever. I haven't seen masses of criticism, because as we sort of indicated at the start of the show, I don't know about you, but my Twitter use has gone down to practically zero, as close to zero as I think I might as well take that final step now and ditch it.
Absolutely quite there, but it certainly is very, very close, because the sheer volume of, well, so several things. I mean, one is the sheer volume of adverts is great. The second is, I seem to be, I'm going to make a sexist remark here now, so I apologise in advance, but the sheer number of young Russian ladies with big tits who seem to like my posts is remarkable. I do wonder where they were 30 years ago.
I think you're being unfair on yourself. You know, you're a very attractive older man, and you know, this is all genuine.
Yeah, I mean, I've had one this morning called Natalie, and I mean, all I can really say is that she's certainly quite eye catching. But
yeah, well,
what she doesn't realise is how clapped out the equipment is. But you know, it really is getting where I think, well, there are a few people I see on there. If I didn't see them, then I would certainly be out of here. And the problem, of course, is where do you go? So, I mean, if you look at your options, I mean, I use Mastodon a reasonable amount. Actually, it reminds me very much of Twitter before it was screwed up about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem I've got there, and there are a number of people who have migrated there, but the biggest problem is there are lots who haven't. So then you've got Blue Sky. Excuse me. Blue Sky is quite nice. It's another fairly good clone of how Twitter was.
I think I joined Blue Sky. I'm just going to have a look while you're talking.
Well, my problem really is that there's only about three people on there that I know. And
I think I might be one of them. Actually, I haven't even got the app on the new phone, so there you go. That tells
you. But here's the issue with both Mastodon and Blue Sky. There are no direct messages. Now, there's a workaround on Mastodon, and that is if you directly address a message to somebody, it doesn't get shown to everybody. And I always stop about, oh, how difficult it is. All that's difficult about it is you've got to say, right, I need a Mastodon instance, who basically are the people who provide you with access to it all. You pick that, you sign up, and off you go. And you need to learn a little bit about addressing, but if you've got a decent app, it's not really very much of an issue. I mean, I use what's it called? It's by the guy who wrote Phoenix for Twitter, Matteo Villa, and it's called Woolly. And it's a really nice app. It's well written. It's very like Phoenix used to be. Lovely, adorable icon of a mastodon. You know, that works really nicely. Or some of the people that I follow on Twitter have gone off to Threads. Well, Threads at the moment is actually not a bad experience. But the problem, of course, is they've said we won't put ads on it for a year. And this is Meta, so I think you can say for absolute certain that presently it will have as many ads as Twitter does. Or, I mean, for example, many, many years ago, I used to have an Instagram where I put a few pictures on. Now you go on there, and like again, it's bombarded with ads and comments and whatever else. I don't want it. You know, if I want to go to a photo sharing site, I'll go to a photo sharing site. I'm certainly not going to go to Instagram and put up with all that sort of crap. So I think that Threads might be great for a short while, but then I think it will auto-destruct under the guidance of a Meta. And then you've got Blue Sky, which, yeah, looks quite nice, but it's really empty. There's another one now called Pebble. It used to be called T2. I never had much joy with that. I reserved my handle and set up a password, since when it refuses to allow me in, and they keep emailing me to say, yeah, we can see you've definitely set this up, and it's definitely you, and there definitely isn't a problem. We'll get the technical people to re-enable access, but they never have. And so the result of that is that I don't know whether it's any good or not. But, you know, there are a few people here. If I could say to them, right, they've now moved, I would keep Twitter into touch. That is, I was thinking only last night, actually, that, you know, the level of adverts is getting quite silly. There's been an increase in the number of repostings, which we called retweets, didn't we? I think, you know, I get actually what Musk is saying. This has somehow got to make a profit, but this is not going to make a profit because it's going to kill the thing altogether. You know? So yeah. So where do we all go? Well, okay. Then you've got things like MeWe. Now MeWe is great for what it does, but it's not a substitute for Twitter. I mean, I know if we look at the PSC groups, you know, they enable chat. I think chat is an utter pain in the behind because some of what's in there, I'm interested. Some of what's in there I'm completely disinterested in. But the problem is I only look at it once or twice a day. So you have to scroll through all sorts of things to try to find the bit you're interested in. And half the time you can't tell what's a reply to which.
Yeah, I only literally read the last few comments and I don't bother with chat, really.
Well, and that's the problem though, Kev, because a couple of times now when I've scrolled back, I've come across something and I thought, God, I really found that really interesting. I wish it had been in the main group. I mean, I'm not in charge of it. And if I ever were going to be in charge of it, it would be an outrage. But the very first thing I would do would be close down chat so everybody could see everything.
I think forever, you know, Ted and me and others are constantly saying, listen, that one should have been in the main thing, yeah, but nobody listens. And no, it doesn't nobody, happen. No. And the only way to do it would be to literally shut down chat, I suppose. Well, I think the concern then is all the chatter goes into the groups, but, you know, and then it's work for Ted and others
What's the problem with chatter? You know, I mean, for example, I know one of the reasons we originally enabled it was nobody wanted the, oh, such and such monthly update. Fine. So have a chatter topic where you post such and such an update is out, and then if you're interested, you look at it. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah, but you can't, because you can't have, it's not like a forum thing where you can have these separate things. And like we if you remember, I did a TT UK group on MeWe, but all we were doing was duplicating PSC. And we only got about a third of the members that they've got. So yeah,
why would you want to do that? That's all you do. That's exactly the same problem we've got on Twitter now.
Yeah.
The people left are fragmented.
Now, I think where you're going wrong, if you don't mind me saying so, is if you're looking for a replacement for Twitter, you're never going to find it.
Oh, it's not going to happen. No.
It's never going to happen anymore because those days have gone.
But
between our back channel, which is obviously very, very small, so my suggestion to you may well be to, like, if you've got five or six people on Twitter who you would miss, invite them to our back channel or get them to join MeWe. Or I think Mastodon, I'll be honest, I was quite excited about it to start with, but I haven't opened it. I've got MetaText, I think, on mine. I'll open it now. That'll be the first time I've opened it for God knows how long. And then I just, it's the same as Twitter though. It's, It's just an outrage machine, you know. It's
well, you know, this is really interesting because I mean, it depends who you follow. I mean, of course, whether you get outraged, but I've got to say, I haven't had a single outrage comment on Mastodon, and I use it regularly. It comes down to who you follow.
Yeah, I didn't mean Mastodon was outraged. Sorry, I meant Twitter.
Twitter's just getting ridiculous.
But then I open this up, and the first thing I see, Mastodon. Is that old meme with the two girls and the boyfriend and space lasers and fire. I just can't be arsed with it anymore. I won't open it again for another two months. I can't be bothered.
I can't understand how you get that, because if I look at what I've got now, I've got 9to5 Mac, which I followed. I've got Paul Haddad, the guy who wrote Tweetbot. Then I've got Andy Hagen. Then there's a few people that you won't know. Kevin Toefel,
who used to know Kevin.
A few I don't know, but you know, that I haven't got any of this outrage stuff. I haven't got anybody posting Codswallop like
well,
that.
I don't think this particular one is an outrage thing. I'll tell you exactly how I've got it. I'm following a chap called Dwight Silverman, who is a pretty good iOS guy to follow, and he has then boosted, which I guess is a retweet ultimately. Maybe I can turn off his retweets. And the thing is, I don't care. This is the point. I don't care anymore.
No, I think that is it. MeWe is never going to be, to me, a substitute for what I use Twitter for. You know,
no,
I
mean, absolutely. And that's before, the beauty of it for me.
Well, yeah, but that, yeah, but it isn't the beauty, because what I always did with Twitter was I would restrict the number of people I followed. Something where I could vote all of their tweets. But there are, I mean, for example, this is something that's completely off the wall. There is a guy who's actually an art dealer in Suffolk, I think, not terribly far away from
here. Mm.
And every day he posts 4 or 5 paintings. So I'm looking at one now, it's an early Monet, and that's in my Twitter feed. Now, mm-hmm. there is not going to be anywhere else. You know, certainly someone like MeWe is never going to have. I've looked for other groups on MeWe that things I'm interested in, like, for example, amateur radio. Well, yeah, there is an amateur radio group. It's almost entirely, but not entirely, filled with North American radio hams. We were talking about things that are particularly North American. And an awful lot of it is how to build antennas and whatever. Well, I've done that. I've done the hanging off the guttering at home to my mother's intense annoyance when I was about 20. I don't really have any much urge to hang off the gutter anymore, but you know, I couldn't find a group on MeWe that did that. And you know, there are a few other things. There are one or two companies I follow. So, for example, there is a company that is installing large numbers of high power car chargers, and they don't fill it up with spam, but every time they open a new site, there's a site saying, you know, there's now a new site at so and so. I actually used one of those sites a month or so ago. I probably wouldn't have thought to look for it where it was. But fantastic, brand new high power charging site, 5 miles off the motorway, nice place to have some lunch. And actually, I don't think the journey was any longer. That's the stuff I've got on Twitter. But I've also still got a few of the people I was used to follow who don't actually seem to have moved, which is, you know, kind of a shame. If they had, I would close it. What I am now thinking of doing is actually progressively unfollowing things that I am. Yeah, interested in, but I'm absolutely sick of the 24 adverts between that and the next one. You know, it's a shame, it really is, but if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through Twitter right now, and it's just 90% outrage. And I guess the difference for me is I used to be very active on Twitter. I can't remember the last post I made to Twitter. So I guess once you stop posting to it and it becomes read-only, you can skip past stuff fairly quickly. But you're right. All I need to do is probably delete a few people, because I'm actually not talking about right-wing outrage. The left-wing do exactly the same. You know, I follow James O'Brien, and I just get it's just tedious now after a while, and I'm not, well, you know.
What I've just done is just unfollowed them.
Yeah, you know, and that. But if you unfollow everyone, then you'll get is the crap. All the promoted shite.
Well, but the thing is, if you unfollow, for example, James O'Brien is one example, and maybe somebody else as well. Firstly, you're not exposed to the the rant, whether you agree with it or not, because that's basically it's all used to fire us all up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But the other thing as well is that they haven't got something to put adverts between. So you're doing your adverts. But I mean, yeah, here's an example. For example, Paul O'Brien is still on Twitter. Miriam Dwyer is still on Twitter. Mark Peters is still on Twitter. And you know, if they were reliably somewhere else, then I would be somewhere else as well.
Paul O'Brien is on MeWe.
Yeah, but MeWe is not a substitute for Twitter. I know he's on.
No, it's not. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want something that's short messaging. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to go, MeWe chat. Yeah, okay, fine.
No, I'm not.
It doesn't work for me, you know?
No, I'm not going to say MeWe twat. Sorry. Slip on the tongue. I apologise, everyone.
I say Mr. O'Brien is a very nice guy.
Yes, very nice guy. Very nice guy. Doesn't live far away from me either, so I've got to be careful.
Send the boys around. I think the thing is, it's just... I mean, I don't know. It just has gone... completely downhill, even more so in the last few weeks.
Anyway, look, we've fixed social media. Let's move on.
Yeah, what was it about ranting, Kev?
I don't know what we were actually we were talking about the iPhone 15.
We were.
And it's funny how quickly. I mean, you know what I'm going to talk about now, the Dynamic Island.
Your enemy.
I don't know how many people actually. How many? I mean. Do you start again? Put my teeth in. What is your background? Is it black or is it not?
On what?
On the iPhone. So you're just on any homepage. Have you got a black background? Oh, right.
No. I've got one that changes colour according to the time of day.
Okay. So you see the Dynamic Island quite a bit. I don't. That's the first thing. I very very rarely see it on the home screen. So a lot of the time I'm just firing it up and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that's the time. Have I got any messages on Telegram? Have I got any text messages? No, there's no red circles. I've got nothing on there. I've got one on MeWe, so I've got a red thing on MeWe. Now I see the Dynamic Island and you were right. Everyone else was right as well. I don't even see it anymore. It's no different to the notch. Literally.
I tell you what I find very odd is that, you know, you sometimes see the Dynamic Island will expand and fill up the entire width of the screen.
Yeah.
I see that virtually never, and I don't remember seeing
it. It doesn't do it that often, actually. For the stuff I use, it certainly doesn't. And when it does expand a bit, it's probably because I've got like a football game running in there with a constant score on, which I want in there anyway. But yeah, really surprised, really happy with that.
We're not going into football mode.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Ipswich Town and how brilliantly they're doing.
I noticed your very clever segue into Ipswich Town there, but it can't be allowed.
Yeah, my boys are doing so well. I mean, you know, second in the league, only behind Leicester by 2 points. What's interesting? I know you want to talk about this quite a bit. What's interesting is there's already an 8-point gap at the top, and that's pretty unusual for the Championship, to be fair. Now, let's face it, no one is more surprised than me. The way they finished last season, I thought they were going to do well, but I didn't think they were going to do this well. Anyway, that's cupboard football. What's next, Brexit?
No, very good. That's too bad. We could go for the new projects in the north that are going to be developed instead of HS2.
No, we mustn't talk about that.
Tram line to Manchester Airport.
Or the
metro in Nottingham that's been there since 2015, or indeed the £100 million on the metro system in Bristol. When I don't think really in the north, is it?
I think you should thank the nation for, you know, putting a fast connection between you guys and London and sod the rest of the UK.
Oh, yeah, but basically, it's going to turn Birmingham into a satellite city of London.
Yeah, it's going to be like a dormitory city. Anyway.
It'll be like Brighton, won't it, before we know?
Yeah, we must move on. We must move on to the tech. I'm going to talk about my Mac.
You had a calamity this week.
Calamity, yeah. Last week, really, I guess. About a week ago now. The memory's still fresh in my mind. I was sitting at home. Sonama had just been released.
This is one of those ones where you thought, oh, that might be interesting, I'll give it a go, and bitterly regretted it ever after.
No, quite the opposite. I thought, there's no way I'm upgrading to Sonama, because ultimately Audio Hijack, which we are recording this very show on and have done for years, that will require me to almost certainly pay them $30 to upgrade, because they've been trying to get me to do that anyway. I bet they've broken it permanently. I am not going to upgrade to that, but my Mac said, very helpfully, my Mac said, there's also an upgrade to 13 dot something dot something else. And I went, yeah, go on then. Go on then, yeah. Do that. I was using the iPad at the time, so I wasn't even using the Mac. So I just said, yeah, get on with it. Thought no more about it for about 2 to 3 hours. The screen had gone off, so I assumed it had all done itself, but screen had, you know, it rebooted and the screen had timed out or whatever. Picked it up, picked the Mac up and said, oh, this is odd. Tapped the space bar as I always do when I pick it up, and yeah, nothing happened. So I thought, this is a little strange. Turned it on and at first nothing, held it down for 10 seconds. Nothing. Basically it was brick.
This is the stuff of nightmares, isn't it? Because, for example, my business software, I had an email from the developer saying, now we've got a final version of the latest OS. We just like to say we are working on making a product compatible with it, but we'd suggest that you don't upgrade for another month or so. But, you know, we'll tell you when we've issued an update. It works well. The idea that it could sort of take it into its own hands and decide it's going to update whether you like it or not. I mean, that would actually, well, it would practically speaking, it wouldn't put me out of business, because I'd have to fire up my dad's old PC and spend 3 days updating it. And I could do it there, but, you know, it's not funny that it auto does it and leaves you high and dry, is it?
I may have misspoke, because it didn't force me to update to 13.8, but my thought was I was on 13.7 or whatever it was, and my thought was, well, it's probably a security update, so yeah, I should probably do that. You know, I don't want to go to the latest Sonoma. So I chose it. I was a perfectly...
That was after you chose 13.8.
It was just two little things saying, this is... Sonoma is available, but also you can go, if you don't want to go to Sonoma, it is 13.8 or something like that. I can't remember. And I went, yeah, go on then. I mean, to be fair, I'd done 13 dot whatever 3 or 4 times over the last few months. So there was no, you know, there was no thought to me that hitting that. And there was obviously something running when I clicked it, and probably I should have shut down all the apps. But normally I trust Mac OS to do all that for me before it updates itself. Who knows? We
just
will never...
disabling auto updates on my desktop, and I'll do it on the MBA as well.
Yeah, I mean, I never had auto update on. I think I might have had auto download and then let me decide. But
I don't think
I don't think Mac's auto update. I think you always have to click.
It's interesting, because on the MacBook Air, automatic updates says apps and security updates only.
Yeah.
Whereas on the iMac, I just got to it. It's basically saying install OS updates as well.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't say
there's no point in me looking at mine, because it's a totally different system now. But
you're now on Sonoma, whether you
It's just annoying, and it
blazing, you know, a trail, Kev. That's what you're doing.
By the time I looked at it and found this out, it was nearly midnight. So of course it was about 3 a.m. before I went to bed, because I couldn't accept that this was it. You know, there has to be a way back. And the interesting thing is, most people listening to this will have restored an iOS device. It just pop it into DFU mode, plug it into a Mac or a Windows PC with iTunes, and away you go. You know, it's pretty straightforward. Ultimately, if you haven't backed up your phone or iPad, you would have lost everything. But of course, 99% of people, their iPhone and iPad is getting backed up automatically. The only time it isn't is generally when people have hit the 5 gigabyte mark and refuse to pay Apple 99p a month, because they've, you know, Apple got too much money already. So they slice their own nose off to spite their face. Normally their iOS devices are backed up, but did I have the Mac backed up? Nah, not at all. And my first thought was, I've played with Mac backups before at work, with like Time Machine, and I'll be completely honest, it confuses the hell out of me. I haven't got a clue what the hell it's meant to be doing, but it would have restored obviously from that. So I am basically faced, there is one solution and one solution only, and they casually say, if it comes up with the restore in the restore mode, They casually tell you that you just all you need is another Mac, you know, and who doesn't have two Macs? Was one of them.
I do actually, and at the moment I'm suffering from a small problem, namely that my iMac mouse is now controlling the screen of my MacBook Air as well, and I really rather it didn't, but I can't remember how you stop it.
I mean, I guess I'm in a fortunate position. I took it to work. We have a very old Mac available to us in our area if we need it. Someone else uses it as their main computer, actually, for home design. But we can sort of nab it because there's a few days of the week when they're not in. So luckily, that was one of them. Took it to work. I went to work extra early, about an hour and a half early. Got started. You essentially have to get the Mac into DFU mode. Of course, there's about 18 different ways of doing that, depending on exactly what flavour of machine you've got and what month you bought it. No, I'm only joking there. But so the interesting thing is the internet now is both wonderful and nonsense, because the first two sites I found had me holding down exactly the wrong keys. I eventually found one that was correct. So there's so much rubbish out there. So
it was a lot changed, didn't it, when they brought in the Apple Silicon Mac?
Even within that, there's differences depending on how old it is. So anyway, eventually I decided to go rogue, and I decided to say, I'm not going to hold that button for another 10 seconds. I'm just going to let go of all bloody three at the same time. And sure enough, go straight into DFU mode. Now, when you're in DFU mode, you can then use the other Mac. And the other Mac was Intel. It was on Monterey, to be fair. I'd upgraded it to Monterey. And given that that was something like a 2015 iMac, not too bad, really. And then it starts restoring your Mac. And about 2.5 hours later, I don't know, roughly 90%, I suppose. It was 90, 95% of the bar was across. It just stopped. It just failed miserably. It just said, sorry, something's gone wrong. Start again. So I started again. This time it all went okay. I think I may have made one error in what I selected because it came up with a thing and said, you need an update before we can carry on. Do you want to update? And I thought, No, I'm not going to update as well. That's going to confuse things. I'll just stick whatever version you've got on, and then I'll upgrade afterwards. But that obviously was the wrong choice. Started again, and eventually, yeah, the thing comes back. I had no choice at that point because I had to say, yes, please do update when I got to that point. So I had no point but to have Sonoma on there, which, you know, doesn't really bother me, other than the point is the first thing I tried to do was run Audio Hijack, which I use to capture your Skype, and it captures my input. It's a great app, actually. It's a brilliant app, but I had to pay the $35 to update that, which I guess we would do for anyway. Over the years, it hasn't been too bad. And then I spent most of last night annoying the hell out of Jackie because I was calling her on Skype every 30 seconds to try and get the damn thing working. This may end up just being a chat between me and you, because it looks like it's recording, and it looks like we've got 38.47 seconds of audio going into the recorder, and all the ones worked last night. So fingers crossed, it's all working okay. I still can't find that once I had the audio, my volume and your volume are totally different. We were playing with that earlier, and however we try and play it and set it up is just a nightmare, really. I'm going to have a chat with Steve, actually, and see what he does when he's recording. I think he uses Audio Hijack. I might have a chat with him and see what settings he's got, because I used to run it through a little app called Levelator, which was a great little app, very totally free. And all it did was looked at the two audio channels, and it basically leveled them up. You know, it took your voice up, my voice down. And it ended up with an even thing. I'm pretty sure I can do that in Audacity, and I've been learning how to do that because I can't find Levelator 3 anywhere. If anyone knows of where it is, I think someone found it before for me and sent it to me, but it's gone altogether. But yeah, it wasn't the most fun time really, because the Mac to me is it's just a tool at the end of the day. I've just finished paying for it. The 2-year interest free thing just ended. I just got sent a reminder to tell me that I can extend the Protect Plus plan that I put on it. And it's that time really when you think, oh God, did I really buy that? Must have been a couple of hundred quid, I reckon. And I never claimed on it, obviously. And I can continue it for £10.75 a month, should I so desire. One of the reasons that I was a little bit annoyed that we didn't have any iPhone 15 Pros in for launch. By the way, we still haven't had, to my knowledge, we still haven't had a single 15 Pro Max to sell in Ipswich. Really? If so, sort of maybe one or two while I was on days off. But at the moment, I think we've got about three normal 15 Pros, the smaller ones, in stock. But stock is still very constrained. But I was quite annoyed because I was genuinely going to buy the iPhone, obviously, from John Lewis. We don't get discount on Apple, so it wasn't for that reason. It was just the 2-year warranty, and I kind of like to have a job. So it makes sense to spend that sort of money, obviously, in the place you work. And I was going to buy Protect Plus on it because, unlike Apple Care, there's no excess whatsoever. And if you take the monthly one, which on the iPhone I think is about a tenner a month, and this doesn't include loss or theft, by the way, it's accidental damage. But if you do the tenner and you carry that on, if you do keep it for 3 years, once the 2-year warranty runs out, if you're still paying that monthly tenner, it not only continues to cover you for accidental damage, it extends the actual breakdown warranty as well. It's absolutely incredible value. And funnily enough, when I was at the Apple store, when I went to Norwich, I think I might have mentioned this on the last show, I was chatting to the guy about it and he couldn't believe. He went a little bit quiet when I said, you know, your excess on the serious damage, you know, over 230, 240 quid. It's crazy given what you charge for it. And he went very, very quiet on that. But yeah, so anyway, the Mac is up and running.
Is it now sort of, you know, back to how you want it?
I'm slowly but surely getting it there. There's little things. Every now and again, I'll go to do something and think, oh God, yeah, I haven't got that. Like Level 8, I only use it once a fortnight. And it's gone. But that, in a way, that's quite good because it was never perfect, and it was always an extra step. And I know now it will make me learn how to do it in Audacity. In fact, I think I learned how to do it last night. So, yeah, hopefully it will be okay to do that. But yeah, not a fun time when something happens like that. And there's no rhyme nor reason for it. In our back channel, you know, the same day, several people updated their Mac exactly to what I'd done and had no issues at all.
No problem, no. And it's very odd when that happens. Well, it's a bit like, you know, what the hell happened with my router? It's just sort of pissed or thrown a complete wobbly. I mean, I still don't really know. I mean, I suppose I'm lucky that resetting it and setting it all back up again seems, touch wood, to have solved the problem. But it wasn't a very enjoyable few hours, and I could have done with more sleep, to be honest. But anyway, it does seem to be working, so I suppose you just have to quit while you're ahead at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, am I going to back this up once I do get it back to working, like with this sort of stuff, you know, like we're doing now? When I get it back to working, am I going to back it up? You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Well, I think yes, you probably would be well advised to think about it at least.
I ain't going to use Time Machine though, because I just don't get it.
No, Time Machine is very clever, but yeah, I mean, effectively, it just takes you back to where you were before, but of course, it's got to work. And
yeah, and I mean, it wouldn't. I'd still had to do what I did, and then I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I think I would just. Yeah, I couldn't. I was no way I could restore from Time Machine because ultimately, I would have still had to do exactly what I did. Then I could have potentially. Could I though? Because I'd have had a backup on. Monterey, and then it would have forced me onto Sonoma, so I'd have had to downgrade somehow to Monterey, which is a bit of a pain in itself normally, And then I'd have had to run Time Machine on it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, yeah, well, it's just not a very happy state of affairs all round, is it?
No, it is not. It is not. I'm trying to think.
Trials of tech is our problem.
Trials of tech, yeah. I'm trying to think. I feel like we sort of skipped past the iPhone a little bit, although we covered that on the other show. I've got some exciting news on the work front in the respect that we're getting. Am I allowed to say this? I don't even know. Yeah, whatever. I don't think it's secret. We're getting a brand new Google table. Currently, our Google display consists of a tiny little plastic thing with a 6A mounted on it, and that's it, basically. Oh, and a little fake their fake AirPod things, you know, whatever they do. Forget what they're called now. Pixel buds.
That's the kiddie. I mean, they look great, except they've got these pretty silicon grommet things, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they're a complete non-starter, as far as I'm concerned.
But we're having the whole lot in about a week's time. But it doesn't. I've seen looking at the plan. I don't think the fold is coming in, which is disappointing if true. Because it'd be nice to have all of that. And it definitely feels to me as if it's a bit of a move with Google, with this thing about 7 years of updates on the new ones and this sort of thing. It seems like they're trying to grab a bit of Apple's sort of the way Apple do things. But it will be nice to have some alternatives to offer people. At the moment, it's 95% iPhone and the rest is Samsung.
You've got to really wonder how Google's customers, like Samsung and Xiaomi and all the others, feel about Google pushing into the hardware market.
Yeah, I don't know. Google don't care, I suppose.
I suppose they hold the cards, don't they? I mean, here's a question for you. Did you watch or have you subsequently looked at anything to do with the Pixel 8 launch?
I have not. I have to confess, I didn't have any interest at all. That's terrible, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's pretty much a shame, actually. I think you should be sent away to boot camp to learn immediately.
Yeah, I've never found the Pixel very interesting. And if I wasn't an iPhone user, I would definitely be just a Samsung guy. I just find the Pixels boring. Sorry.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, actually? I know what you mean. I remember when I think probably my favourite one, actually, in many ways, although it wasn't the most competent in some respects, was actually the Pixel 5, the little one, the little fella that came out sort of pandemic time. And it had all the signs of sort of, well, if we'd had a normal working situation, we could have probably done this, we could have probably done that. But they actually produced a nice, compact phone. I mean, I haven't yet heard what Steve has said about the Pixel Fold, because I know he's got one in. But
yeah, not a lot this week, actually. He hasn't said too much. More to come, but yeah.
Well, I liked the size of the Pixel Fold very much. It reminded me quite a lot of the BlackBerry Passport in terms of shape, but obviously much thicker. I didn't much appreciate that. But not really wanted to talk about that. When they came to the Pixel 6 and the 6 Pro, they were just so much bigger than the 5. I was thinking, well, I'm not really very happy about it. And they were also quite heavy. Now, I wonder whether this is actually sort of impression rather than actuality, but I got the 7 Pro, and if I'm honest, I didn't really use it tremendously much for the first 6 or 7 months I had it.
Mm.
And then I went on holiday and managed to completely screw my S23 Ultra, much to my real annoyance, by putting one UI 6 beta on it, which disabled most of the camera functions.
Yeah.
So I took the 7 Pro on holiday, initially rather annoyed with myself, because I updated it like it was the night before I went away, so there really wasn't time to recover from it, given I didn't have access to a lot of data or whatever. I took the 7 Pro, and I was absolutely thrilled with the camera on it, and I got to quite like it. So I'm beginning to feel, well, actually, maybe you didn't give this a fair chance in the first place. It's noticeably lighter than the 6 Pro. But the question really is there much change in the 8 Pro? Well, I don't really know, because to be honest, I've read a couple of little bits about it, but not really very much. I love the blue colour, but that's not really a very good reason to buy it. But it's obvious they really are intent on being in this space. And one of the other things that's also obvious is that they're trying to make it a bit more premium. So there's a fairly sizable increase on the cost of the Pro. It's 150 quid more than the 7 Pro, if I remember rightly.
100, I think.
100. Yeah, okay.
100. It's a funny year when Google put their prices up 100 and Apple dropped theirs by 50, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
At the high end.
Brave.
You obviously had the Fold for a while. I've not had one, but every single podcast and every article I've read and every YouTube video basically says, yeah, the front screen's awesome and I use it 85% of the time, to which my answer is, why do you need a Pixel Fold at 1700 quid? Steve picked his up for 950, which is much more sensible money. How much could you pick up an S23 Ultra for right now, which would give you pretty much everything the Fold gives you, although I guess it's bigger.
I think it gives you substantially more, except for the.
Yeah. You mentioned the Pixel 5, and obviously we had those. I think I may have owned one for a short time. I can't remember. But I have this weird thing about Android that if I'm going to have Android, I have to have at least a 6.5-inch screen to be remotely happy with the way that I can read stuff on it that I'm perfectly happy with on iOS because of the fonts and all the stuff we always say. I can get away with a much smaller screen on the iPhone. It's just weird. I find I struggle a little bit with very small Android screens because I can't really get the fonts to look like I want them. Just bold font, for example, it's one little tick box on the iPhone, and it just bolds everything up beautifully, neatly, no messing. When I use bold, even Samsung, I've introduced it now, but it doesn't work the same on a Samsung. It's totally different. It bolds some things, not everything. Doesn't look anywhere near as good. Attention to detail, I guess, and stuff like that. But did it not annoy you with the Fold that when you did eventually open the screen, I don't know if it's changed now, but you just spanned the two. It just left black bars at either side of the,
Well,
just wasted the whole thing.
depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at, say, video, yeah, you do end up.
Yeah, you too.
But yeah, exactly. But then, as I've said to you before, I virtually never watch YouTube, so it's not really an issue.
Yeah, you're just weird.
I know, but I mean, why would I want to watch YouTube? No, it's all right now. I'm being slightly sarcastic, but that's not to say I don't ever watch YouTube. But I don't go browsing YouTube at all. It usually what I use YouTube for. Well, like last time the dishwasher got bunged up, I looked up how to dismantle it and clean it out. It's that sort of.
Yeah, then I guess you're not focusing on how pretty it looks. You just want to get the
No,
information, which is
just to
fair
get the
enough.
bloody dishwasher working. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
absolutely.
Oh, and that's fine. I get that people look at it, and that, of course, is fine as well. But I don't use it very much. I pretty rarely watch video, actually. I mean, television, yeah, but video, and it might be this is why I don't take very much video. I don't really like watching it either, But
Interesting, yeah.
I think the biggest problem, really, with the internal screen is it sort of directly mirrors the external screen, which is not what happens on Samsung Folds, for example. And it is a nice screen, but and I don't know either how much I believe all the stories about, drop a grain of sand in here and the entire device will explode. That seems a bit unlikely to me.
Yeah, I think so.
That's not to say it couldn't happen, but I just don't believe it genuinely would happen. I don't think it would have got as far as market if that was going to happen. But my biggest problem really was that. Yeah, like you say, you use the external screen so much of the time that really the internal screen was just a bulky encumbrance hanging off the back of it.
Yeah,
Not to say if one comes up at a good price, I wouldn't buy another, because it was quite a nice
sure,
device.
yeah. Well, they're obviously dropping pretty fast. If he picked one up, I mean, who's taking these losses? I mean, Jesus, people are buying them at the full 1700 quid, and then they're selling them for 950 a few weeks later, or probably. I guess it probably went 17 down to 1300, and some of the prices that things go for.
But I think you see Google in particular, they're particularly bad at this. They set their devices up for a big product.
Yeah, absolutely.
You take the 8 Pro, which I've got on screen now. It comes with Pixel Watch 2.
Yeah,
Well,
I know,
I
it's
think
mad, isn't it?
Well, it's stupid. I don't, you know, I mean, if I were buying that, my first point is I don't want a Pixel Watch 2.
Yeah.
That would be my first thought. But the second thing is everybody knows it came with a free watch to start
yep.
with. And actually, it gets built into what people think the device is worth. So, absolutely. Hey, presto, immediately on arrival home, it's worth, what, 200 quid less than you paid for it?
Yeah, because they know that they've just sold the watch for 200 quid. So you've actually only paid 800 quid for your Pixel, so I'll offer you 600.
Whether you've actually done that or not, in the day, they're going, the original price of this was 999, but 240 quid, say, was the watch, so the real price is 750 before we start. You know,
and
personally, I mean, maybe this makes me odd, but if I were buying that, I'd rather have a price for the bloody phone that doesn't include the watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But, and obviously, the people that find that out the day after, you know, the day after it doesn't have the watch free with it, you know, it would put me off buying it in the first place. I think, oh, God, 2 days ago, I could have got it with the watch. Oh, forget it.
Yes, exactly.
You know. But I don't know, it'll be interesting, and that's why I find the fact that we're getting this table, it'll be fairly close to the Apple table, certainly not next door to it, but it won't be far away. And it's a very nice-looking table, if that makes sense. You know, at the moment, the table is stylish, you know, like it would be in a Google shop if they had, I don't know if they've got them, but like the Apple store and like the Samsung stores are. It's a decent looking thing, whereas the other things are just basically just little plastic add-ons to the end of our normal display cabinets, you know, which look fine, but they don't look, this thing draws you to it. I think it will look absolutely brilliant, and I'm really pleased we're getting it. But whether we'll sell any more is another matter altogether. We'll certainly sell more than we do at the moment, because how do you sell something that you haven't even got on display, you know? At the moment, we've got, like, on the Samsung table, we've got two Samsung tables now, and they are directly behind and next to the iPhones. It always makes me laugh, actually, that they don't. If you're standing there looking at an iPhone in my store and you turn round, you do see one Samsung phone, but on that particular side of the table is mostly tablets and laptops. And you think, why wouldn't you have all your phones lined up alongside that, you know, so that people are looking at that and going, oh, what's this then? But I have to be honest, the reality is that for John Lewis, certainly John Lewis Ipswich, anyone coming in there to buy a phone who's in the older, you know, 35, 40 upwards, they already know they want an iPhone. And even the sort of people in their 60s, 70s and 80s have been told by their granddaughter, grandson, son, daughter, they've been said, look, please get an iPhone so you can join in with FaceTime and iMessage, and although WhatsApp is the de facto standard, to be fair, for messaging. You know, so people actually already come in knowing that it's got to be an iPhone. I had someone come in the other day, one of the sales partners came and got me and said, oh, can you come and help this lady? She's got a problem with her iPad. So I said, yeah, okay, no problem. So I took, I usually go out and I take a power supply, and I thought it could be Lightning, could be USB-C. I'll take a charger with me, because quite often you just got to plug it in and give it some power and do a reset, and it's normally solved it. I go out there and the lady pulls this, I think it was, what was the make of it? Lenovo, basically 100 quid Lenovo tablet came out of the bag, you know. She said, "I said, ah, right, sorry, I thought you had a problem with an iPad." And she went, "Yeah, I have." And for the first time, actually, that I've really heard of that as a generic term, like sellotape or something like that. I've never really come across that before. Is that something you've ever heard anyone calling a £100 Lenovo tablet an iPad?
Oh, I think people call these. It's a bit like Hoovers, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's the first time I've come across it. Yeah, you know, I fully expect if someone says, yeah, they've got a problem with their Hoover, I'll go out there and it'll probably be a Shark or a Dyson or something like that, you know. But never come across it, that's all. I was just curious. And it wasn't a huge amount I could do to help, really, because I was about 7 or 8 years old and there weren't nothing happening with that, you know. And she
ended up, dead, go and buy something.
Yeah, she just ended up buying the cheapest Samsung tablet, and that was perfect. But
that said, you know, those really cheap Samsung tablets are actually...
They're fine, yeah.
They're not bad devices at all.
No, they're absolutely fine. The A-series tablets are absolutely fine. I think generally we sold this week we sold a... oh God, what was it? What is the premium tablet at the moment? I can't even remember. It was one of the premium tablets.
It's
the
S9, isn't it?
S9. Oh, it might have been an S8 then, to be fair. So, I just thought to myself, why wouldn't you just get an iPad? They didn't have any. They had an iPhone. You know, they actually had. I've spent quite a bit of time on the shop floor this week because we've been short. And they had an iPhone. And I said, well, you would be better off with an iPad. No. My friends have said the screen on this is amazing, and yeah, it is. You know, it is. It absolutely is. But it, okay.
I bought my mum one of those A series tablets.
Yeah, they're fine for the money, aren't they?
She's absolutely thrilled with it. She can do all sorts of things with it. She's certainly getting the value for money out of it. But it does what she needs it to do.
Can't knock it at all, to be fair. But going back to the Google table, pretty excited to get that in, and hoping the Fold will be on there. It's not looking like it is. I'm hoping that's wrong, and it will be. It does seem like it's a missed opportunity.
Incidentally, I've cured my mouse wandering from one computer to another. In of all places, the display settings, in the mouse settings. So, but there you are, he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to think of anything else work-related that's interesting. We just had our best ever week of setups at Ipswich. I'm coming up to that point now where we're actually up about between it varies weekly, but we're up between about 94% and 97% up on last year in terms of what we've done on the tech support side. And then and then you're getting towards that year and you're starting to think, oh, what are we going to do next year? Because this year we've been riding really high, but we're not going to. There's no real way of increasing that massively next year, if it makes sense.
Always the old problem, isn't it? If you improve by 95%, then next year you've got to do twice as much to improve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're never going to get to that level again, I guess. But look into there's certain things we can't do at the moment, like data cleanse and stuff like that. We can't actually. Do it because we can't access the software properly. So that is my new challenge, if you like, in tech support for the next couple of months. If we have any quiet days, which are not likely actually, because my the lovely young lady I work with and have worked with the last year, she's moving on in the store, and I'm getting someone new shortly. So there'll be a lot of training and stuff needs to go in. So it'll be an interesting time. I won't have a lot of time to sort things out, but it's all good fun.
And pass on all the skills, though.
Say again.
You can pass on all the skills and all the tricks that you know.
So. Oh, yeah. No, he's a youngster, so he'll know most of them anyway, I would think. So, and it's not all... You know, it's not all fun with iPhones and iPads and things. You know, the other day I had to deal with a Magimix, and that was quite interesting, actually. In that it was 4 years old, so it was out of the 3-year warranty. But they said they actually said it had a 30-year motor guarantee. They give a 30-year motor guarantee. So, yeah, that's really good. It is really good. And until you, I was chatting to the lady and I said, does it work? She went, yeah, the motor turns fine until you put any amount of food in, even a couple of little bits, then it stops. And I said, oh, right, okay. And I'm just a bit worried. She's had to contact Magimix direct because it's not something we can currently get involved in because the 3-year warranty that was on it has gone. And I said, I hope they don't, but I got a feeling they're going to say, well, the motor works. It would be a ridiculous thing to say, because having a food mixer that only spins when there's no food in it is...
It doesn't actually...
You might as well have a chocolate teapot. Ain't going to be very useful. So I'm very much hoping... I think they will sort it, actually, because they're a pretty good company, to be fair. So I think they will sort it for her. But it was odd that it was nothing we could sort of do from our end, because our warranty had actually run out. You know. In fact, we didn't even have a warranty on it. It was 3 years with. There's quite a lot of products where we don't warranty them at all, other than obviously the Sale of Goods Act, which obviously covers every product. But there's no actual warranty from most items are 1 year from the manufacturer and then an extra year from us, or sometimes an extra 2 years when we're doing a 3 year warranty. But this particular product and things like Dysons and things, the entire thing is taken on by the manufacturer, even though we will still quite happily send it to them, you know, and get it sorted. What else should we touch on? Oh, yeah, while we were talking about the Google, something occurred to me. Mike Warner on PSC this morning.
Many sheds.
Yeah, that's it. Mike Many Sheds Warner.
Many Sheds Mike.
Many Sheds Mike. He said something that I was very surprised by. I thought I would know this, but I didn't. And he said that the Tensor G2 in the 7 Pro was pretty much identical to the first version in the 6 Pro. And the 3 is quite the upgrade, you know, from the 1 and the 2. But the 1 and the 2 were the same, basically. I thought that was
maybe that's a selling point.
Yeah, that wasn't common knowledge, I don't think. I'm pretty sure that wasn't common knowledge. I didn't know it anyway.
If anybody knows, Michael knows. He gets
absolutely.
Scores of these things, doesn't he?
Apparently, you were talking about improvements. Apparently, the displays are quite a bit better. That's something about the iPhone 15. I convinced myself that the actual... I mean, for example, now you'd be proud of me. My brightness is now at something like... know what you'd call that, 85%? Yeah. I mean, that's the increase is quite substantial, but I think the quality of the display is better as well. We haven't heard about that, but...
Just look at the display on the 7 Pro, Pixel 7 Pro, is very nice. But I certainly have to have the brightness up a lot higher than the iPhone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, sorry, I'd switched subjects on you there. I think the iPhone 15 Pro screen is better than the 13 Pro screen.
I think I'd agree with you. Remember,
I always used to say, I think Samsung, the S23 Ultra and the Flip 3, I think the screens in that are better than the iPhone 13 Pro. And I think this has caught them up, I think. And I've not read that there's anything different about it, but I guess we wouldn't necessarily know. Even
the 15 Pro Pro Max is at about 35% screen brightness.
And the
Pixel 7 Pro is about 85%.
Yeah, that was always the case with Pixels, but this year apparently that's changed as well with the new ones. So I'm looking forward to having a play with one. They launch fairly soon, don't they? I think is it 12th or something?
Something like Wednesday, Thursday.
Thursday, yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Thursday.
Oh, it's my day off Thursday, so...
The screen I've got the lowest is the S23 Ultra, which is probably on about 25% at the
moment. Yeah, that was a very, very bright screen, wasn't it?
I think, to be honest, the S23 Ultra is still better than the 15 Pro Max.
Mm.
It's just a stunning screen, isn't it, the S23 Ultra?
Yeah, absolutely. So my current decision is, do I pay £10.75 to continue accidental damage cover, but more importantly, breakdown? Is it worth 11 quid a month? It's not a huge amount of money, is it? And you think, well, and that thought of I was thinking, like, if that was unrecoverable for some reason, what are my options? And my only options are to pay someone £200 or £300 probably to have a look at it. And if it's a new screen or something like that, then, you know, what do I do? It's a £2,000. Well, now it's over £2,000 now. We got them for about £1,800, but it's over £2,000 now.
Fuck all insurance, isn't it? You know, I mean, I look how much I pay in insurance. Obviously, I've got business insurance.
Yeah.
And before you know where you are, you're into quite a lot of money every month. Is it worth it? Well, the answer is it's worth it if you need to make a claim.
Yeah.
I mean, put another way, when did you last damage a laptop?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be paying this 1075 for damage because I've got household contents that's pretty decent, but I'm just thinking about the thing breaking down. Because if I put 11 quid into an account every month for a year, I'm not going to have a new MacBook, am I? But then the odds are it won't go wrong in the next.
Well, that's exactly the problem, isn't it? That's exactly where the issue comes.
I faced this exact dilemma yesterday when I put £5 on Ipswich to win 4-1 with Bet365.
Came out quite well, didn't it?
And no, because they won 4-2. So it came out disastrously bad. But they tempt you with a cash out thing, you see. So at half time when it was 3-1, they were offering me like 20 quid to cash out because they were looking at it and thinking, oh God, yeah, we might have to pay him out 105 quid here. And actually it spoiled, I was watching the game as well on the laptop, and it actually spoiled the game a little bit for me because I'm watching the game and all of a sudden my bet disappears. So I know for a fact that the opposition have just scored, because that's the only way my bet could disappear off the screen. It took a good 4 minutes for my actual picture on the internet to catch up with the other bit.
Did you win anything?
Well, what I did was I partially cashed out at 4-1, at the 4-1 bet. So I'd already partially cashed that out and took about a fiver back. And then I immediately put that fiver on 5-2, which was also wrong, but not. It was almost 5-2 because they missed a sitter really in the last 2 minutes of extra time. But and I would have won another 85 quid. But no, in the end, I lost a fiver. I'd only put the fiver on there because I thought the game was being broadcast on there, and you can only do that if you've got a bet on. They're very sneaky, these companies. Honestly, they are. So I think insurance is very similar to betting, really. I think it's exactly the same, actually, as betting, in a way.
In a way, yeah. It's a gamble, isn't it? I mean, I suppose it depends. There are some insurances that are compulsory.
Yeah, we don't get much choice. Yeah, absolutely. Surely we would all buy comprehensive car insurance if it wasn't a legal requirement, wouldn't we?
I would, but I was thinking.
I guess many people wouldn't, yeah.
I suppose a lot of people would say, no, I've got an old bank, I'm just going to get third party.
Yeah.
And certainly that happens. I mean, things like my...
No, think about what you just said. The idiots that think that way wouldn't give a monkey's about third party.
Well, no, I suppose that's true.
Would they? Because uninsured drivers now, we pay for them in our premium.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they have that fund that a little bit of our premium goes into to pay out for the dickwads that don't insure their cars at all.
No, absolutely so. I mean, it's obviously a personal one, but my conditions of business require me to have indemnity insurance.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, I don't have any option on that. It goes up by ridiculous amounts every year. I'm now definitely looking for a piece of wood. In 32 years of being self-employed, I've never made a single claim on it.
Yeah.
So you could say that's been many thousands of pounds down a hole on it. So I think currently about 1,900 quid a year.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if I were to have completely screwed something up, it gives me £1 million of insurance cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is 1,900 quid a good deal or a bad deal? I'd like to think I operate at a level that it's a very bad deal. Sometimes you can have it. Now, would I spend £10 a month on a 2-year-old laptop? Honest answer, probably not. Because how many times have you had a broken down laptop?
Never, I don't think.
Software. No, I never have either.
No, it's never gone wrong. If it's going to go wrong, it would tend to go wrong within early, that period. Yeah.
And well, on the other hand, paying £10 a month to look after your iPhone, I think your risk is significantly more.
Yeah.
Catching the corner of a table and putting a screen in or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the sad thing, really, because my only option on the iPhone, if I go into settings, I've got 47 days, I think, 46 days now, there's another day gone past, to add Apple Care Plus coverage, which I haven't looked at lately, but I'll go in right now and have a look at. And it's going to, I don't think it, oh, sorry, system currently unavailable. We're updating our system. Awesome.
That's helpful.
Cheers, Apple. Yeah, that's really helpful, isn't it? That's incredible. Never seen that before. What are they updating this system for? God knows. I've got a feeling AppleCare is pretty pricey, but it's the chances are I'm more likely to put a gouge across the screen, which isn't covered under that anyway.
Yeah, that is the issue, isn't it?
I think AppleCare. I think I find AppleCare really confusing because one of them does theft now as well, doesn't it? I think.
Yeah. One includes theft and something else.
I'm doing exactly the same, so I think I'm there actually. Buy now. Do I want to buy it? Yeah, I'll buy it. Go on in, Apple. Is it going to work on the net but not on the phone? Yeah, apparently it is. iPhone. Here we go. Let's have a little look. Sign in. Why do you need me to sign in? Jesus Christ.
Well, this is what happened to me when I was upgrading our phones. I had to sign in 4 times. That's probably part of the reason why I was so far down the queue. That and not getting on to 25+1.
I suppose they know once I sign in, they've got my credit card probably, haven't they, on file. So they probably know. Continue with password. Yeah, we'll do that. Oh, and now I've got my little pop-up. Yeah, okay. Allow. Yeah, okay. Put my code in. I love how people hide these codes from me when I'm at work and I'm getting them to do this, as if this code's ever going to work anywhere else. And they'll write them down as well. Customers will write them down. Like, no, don't write that down because you'll never need that code again. Do not worry.
One of the things that always gets me, and I don't know, I can't get my head around this. You're logging in on your Mac, say. You put in your username and password. And it then sends a 2FA code to the thing you're trying to log into.
So this didn't. It sent it to the iPhone only. But yeah, I have had that actually.
Pretty much whenever I log into my Apple account on a Mac as opposed to the phone, it sends the 2FA code to the thing I'm trying to log in.
Yeah.
In which case, how much use is that? It always feels a bit like a chocolate teapot.
Well, you say that, but aren't you already logged into that to be able to read that code? If you weren't logged into that device, you wouldn't be able to read it.
On the iMac. Yeah, well, in that case, why does it require me to log in again if I'm already logged in? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
system,
I
mean,
I can't answer that one, but.
System currently unavailable. We're updating our system, so I don't know whether AppleCare is just about to go up in price. I don't think I'm going to buy AppleCare anyway, if I'm honest. I'm more tempted actually. I when I bought my new car and got rid of the scooter, I immediately cancelled or I immediately changed my Flex Plus account with Nationwide. I immediately changed it back to a non-paying one because I thought, well, I'm paying 13 quid a month basically for AA cover for my car at the time and my scooter and phone coverage for me and Jackie on unlimited phones, I believe, with Nationwide. So I thought for 13 quid a month, as a result, there is also some travel insurance that I wouldn't use. And there was another thing, insurance, I wasn't eligible for because of diabetes, so I wasn't getting them anyway. But I thought 13 quid a month was a bit of a deal, really, for the AA cover. That's more than that, generally, for the level of AA cover that they give you. So when I bought the car and the scooter had gone, I thought, well, there's no point in paying out that, you know, 12 times 13. So I just switched back. It's very easy, actually, to switch between the two with Nationwide. Then I found that my Kia has only got 1 year's AA cover, not three. Or actually, what Hyundai do, which is the same company, is provided you have it serviced with the Hyundai dealer, they each time you have it serviced, they extend you another year up to 5 years, which is a brilliant system. So I assumed that Kia would do exactly the same.
You just made me wonder when's the next service.
But they do not. Yeah, make sure you don't. You got a month either side usually, but make sure you don't miss it, because that does give you that extra year of full AA or RAC. I can't remember who they use now. Cover. But, I've only got 1 year with this, the tight gits. So certainly in another sort of three, 9 months, I'm going to have to sign back up for Nationwide. And I was thinking with the new iPhone, I might, and Jackie's got a newish 14. So I was thinking I might do that. But again, when have I ever... I've never even had a scratch on an iPhone. I mean, the last one I just sold, I said, you know, in the advert, there's a very, very faint scratch on this that if you hold it at the right light and put a flashlight on it, you can just about discern it. But that you couldn't really see it in normal lighting at all. And that was the first time that had ever happened, even on a micro scratch basis. So, yeah, as you say, insurances are... most insurance companies make quite a bit of money, don't they? So,
can be very important. I mean, it's like all these things, isn't it? If you have a reason to make a claim, you'd be glad you got the insurance.
Absolutely. And if you don't, you'll just add up all the money you've spent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, when it comes to a laptop, I hope this isn't tempting a fake product. I've ever had. I can't remember having a laptop that failed.
I think you're right, especially these days where there's no moving components, are there?
Actually, I'm telling a lie. My late dad's laptop, which is currently sitting next to me, the motherboard failed about a week after the warranty ran out. Mm. And I had quite a big argument with Huawei about that. But ultimately, when faced with me saying, do you really think a 91-year-old is going to have used a laptop so in such a bad way that it's reasonable for the motherboard to fail, they suddenly changed tack and said, we'll replace it.
Yeah.
So they did. But sadly, it got back to me after Dad had already died. So that's why I have a PC laptop, but occasionally that's useful, of course. But that's the only time I can ever remember having a computer fail. And I mean, I've had laptops for over 20 years, maybe getting on for 30 years. Mm. In fact, it would be getting on for 30 years because I had a black and white compact back in the 1990s. So yeah, I don't ever remember having had one fail. I do remember one that I dropped on the concrete, and that one I was very worried it was going to fail, but it never did.
Mm.
But and that was back in the days of having a 3.5-inch floppy disk drive in the darn
thing.
But it didn't fail. So yeah, I think when it comes to laptops, don't blame me if it goes wrong, Kev, but personally, I'd give
it. No. I was just looking at, I just realised that with this Mac, I just had to download Coconut Battery because, of course, that got zapped when I lost everything and very easy to find. 86% of battery left after 366 cycles. Pretty happy with that, I think. The battery was manufactured on the 9th of August 2021, so it's just over 2 years old. I've done 366 cycles apparently in that time.
I think that's quite reasonable, actually.
Battery temperature 30.2, Mac OS status good. So design capacity was full charge capacity is now 5,235 milliamp hours. That's quite amazing, really, because there's phones with more than that now, isn't there? The design capacity of this MacBook 14-inch Pro is 6,075 milliamp hours. That's really low, isn't it?
Well, is it? In the day, it lasts long enough, doesn't it?
It does, but a lot of phones now have got 5,000 in, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's fairly shockable.
Well, it shows what an amazing processor the
doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, let's just go back momentarily to my dad's PC. I mean, it was Huawei to argue with because it was bought just before it switched Honor out. It's actually an Honor branded one that Honor now make. I could very easily use it to work. It's a lovely device. It's a good size, etc., etc., etc. Except that when I take my MacBook Air to a client, I arrive at sort of half past 10. I'm still working on it at 5 o'clock. 70% battery left, and I charge it up overnight when I'm at the hotel or whatever.
Mm.
I couldn't dream of doing that this far away. It lasts about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's a shock. You see, if it was as efficient as Apple Silicon, I very probably would use it, but I just wouldn't get the same performance out of it at all.
Mm. I'm just plugging my iPhone 15. Trust this computer. And I've just realised that I think this might be only the second time I've plugged it in. Coconut Battery doesn't like it for some reason. It's saying it's not authorised, even though I've just said trust. iOS device. Oh, here we go. Now it's happy once I rebooted it. Battery info. That's interesting. That's interesting. If it, I mean, obviously, we all know that these are, we don't know how accurate they are, but I've got battery information. The DSAI Corporation, this battery's got a serial number, and the current full charge capacity is 3361 milliamp hours. But the design capacity of that battery is 3254. So I've actually got one of these batteries that's more than 100%. If this is to be believed. It also now reports how many watts it's taking from charging on the MacBook, which is 5.67. It's had 13 cycle counts. Well, of course, we can read that in iOS now. So battery cycle counts are now in iOS, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just downloading coconut batteries to the MacBook Air while you've been doing that. Currently, I mean, this is a March 2021 MacBook Air, so
same as mine. I've got no manufacturer date on mine. I've only got manufacturer date of the battery.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But that's
Okay. How many cycle counts have you got?
Oh, I'm telling Paul, because there are two manufacture dates. The computer was manufactured on the 15th of March 21, and the battery was manufactured on the 22nd of February 21. My MacBook Air, which, because I use probably a lot less than you, has 116 cycle counts, and it's currently at 95.8% of battery.
Ah, sorry, yeah, I'm getting mixed up, because you haven't got the 14-inch, have you, anymore?
This is an MBA, though. The fact that it's still at 95.8% after 2 years, I mean, it's used less than yours, but sometimes it's used quite intensively. It depends on, at home, obviously, I'm using the iMac.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was off and did. I was on the thing for a large part of the day. When I was watching, for example, the other night when I was watching footy, the TV is probably about 12, 13 feet away from me. It's only a 42-inch. It's about 15 years old, I think. And I switched over to that and started to watch it on that. And within 10 minutes, I switched back to the laptop because, number one, if I look at the telly, it's across the room. So I have to take these glasses off and put distance ones on, which is really annoying. Then I've got the distance ones on. I look down at the phone and can't see a thing. So I'd much rather just watch it on the laptop because I can keep the same glasses on and it's right in front of my face, so it feels like a much bigger screen anyway. So I use it, but I mean yesterday, similar thing, and I actually had to charge the 14-inch MacBook Pro. I had to charge it three times yesterday. Well, I didn't have to charge it three times. I did charge it three times. I put it on when I went to bed because I knew we were doing the show and I didn't want to be on power. So I did charge it three times, but I certainly had to charge it twice. That is bearing in mind that I never let it get below 20% if I can help it. I always try and plug it in at 2019 when it goes red. I usually try and charge it then rather than letting it get down to zero. But I'm really pleased with that. That iPhone, have you plugged your iPhone in?
No.
I'm really pleased with that.
I can't at the moment because the Bluetooth adapter for my microphone covers both USB-C ports on the side of the MacBook Air.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you that because I'm fed up with this wired microphone. Which did you get the Boya?
Yeah, the Boya.
The Boya, and that weren't too dear, was it? The Bluetooth one?
About 30 quid.
Yeah, I think I might get one of them because it's starting to get annoying with all this cabling on the Boya plug-in one, isn't it? I might get one of those, actually.
I've got a feeling that he keeps having special offers. That's the thing about it.
Do they do a two-pack, do you know?
Yeah, there are two in there.
Right, okay. Yeah, definitely. Definitely up for that, I think.
Currently, $39.90, but there's a 5% voucher, so you can get that down.
Yeah, I think I might grab those. They seem to be really good. And I could have really done with that at the wedding. That would have been really good.
Yes, I guess so.
How does that work with an iPhone? I guess now it's USB-C. It would work just fine, wouldn't it?
I guess it probably would. I haven't tried it, but I would have thought.
Yeah. Might get you to just try that for me if you could. I know there's a video. I watched a video where the guy has tried all sorts of things like that, and every single thing worked absolutely brilliantly. It's just a matter of whether the iPhone can provide enough watts, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but it certainly is possible, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's going to work absolutely fine.
If you click on the 5% off voucher, what's it going to come out at? So I look. Whatever, 95% of £39.90 is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
it's £37.90.
Yeah, I'll get one of them in a minute. Get that delivered tomorrow. That'll be good. Just worth mentioning that was, I think, the second time I plugged my 15 Pro in. That's, what is it now? 2 weeks since launch? Maybe three. I just realised that really that at night it just goes on the Qi charger next to the bed, and then in the car I've got a charging pad, but they put them in the most ridiculous of places, so I find it really annoying. And if I actually put it in that spot down at the front in front of the gear stick, I always walk off and forget it,
leave it behind. Yeah,
I leave it behind. I have to go back and get it. So what I've done is put a Qi charger and plugged it in, but for some reason, I've got to get a new, 12-volt to USB adapter, because when I plug the dash cam and the phone charger in, only one of them will work, and the phone steals it from the dash cam. So I was driving for about 4 days not knowing that I didn't have a dash cam, because it's right in the corner facing away from me, so I can't see the screen. But as soon as Jackie came out with me, she said, "Do you realise your dash cam's not working?" And I'm like, "No, that's not good."
Not help.
So I've got to find, if anyone out there has got a cigarette lighter adapter plugged into their car and they're running a Nextbase dash cam, or any dash cam, but a Nextbase is mine, and being able to charge a phone using a Qi MagSafe charger, let me know which one you bought, because I don't want to be buying like 10 of them just to find the one that provides enough power. I'm figuring if it's got two PD3 slots, then it will probably work. But then the problem is I've got to get a new cable or an adapter, because the dash cam obviously ends in a USB-A. So it's a little bit of a...
Yes, the dash cam, I mean, I've got a Nextbase dash cam. The connectors are a bit primitive, aren't they?
But... Yeah, I mean, it's USB, it's mini USB still into the actual cam, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I guess we could just pick up a new lead for the dash cam, but I've run all mine nicely into the car now, so it'll be a right pain in the bum.
I must admit, I gave up in the end. I went away and paid for it.
That's probably not a bad shout, really, to be honest. You can get some mobile guy to come and do it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think it cost me about £45 in the end.
Yeah, I think that might be a good shout.
Like hassle.
Yeah, might well do that. Might well do that. Right, okay. Well, what do you think? I think we're knocking on the door of...
Probably warbled long enough.
I think we're knocking on the door, and...
We'll have to,
If we carry on, we're going to have an old man break, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, well, I don't know about you, I've got a few things I've got to do today. So I think it's good to say...
Just trying to think. I've got to have some lunch in a minute. I've got to put my feet up and chill. That's pretty much it for me today. I'll let you do the work.
Yeah, I guess.
And if this doesn't make it out into the world, it's been great having a chat.
It's been lovely talking.
Yeah, lovely talking. And, obviously... no one will actually know apart from... this is the only thing I was about to say. No one will know apart from the Twitter post. And that would literally now be the only thing I'd probably go on Twitter to say, sorry, guys, no TTUK, because it all went wrong. But it was good, honestly. I think it's okay. Fingers crossed. Let's say goodbye.
Yep, okay. Lovely talking to you. Bye, and everybody. You. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks.